I love that song. Pardon? This? No, I'm just going to hold it here. Thank you. I'm not used to having to sit in this little chair. I like my little stool and my little plexiglass thing, but I appreciate you setting me up for this. It's about the best I can do these days, and I've found a new place. But if you see me twinge, I'm not in any severe pain, but I have a muscle spasm that down low, right above my left hip bone. And that muscle will spasm, and it just makes me kind of pull to the left for a moment. And I don't know why it's doing that, but I don't think it'll do it, but it occasionally kind of catches me off guard. So I try to warn you about these things, so if you see something, you won't think, oh, he's keeling over. And last week, for those of you who couldn't be here, don't ever like to refer to a message, and then everybody's going, what's that? But I brought a message God had given to me after I got out of the hospital and was home, that He allows, the existence of sin and evil, suffering, bad things, and I guess you could say bad people, they're part of life. And it's allowed to be on this earth. And that's hard for many Christians to accept, because we're always saying, why does God allow this? And we talked about that last week, because God is, He's all-knowing, so He knows everything. He's also everywhere, all the time. And He's also all-powerful. And God knew when He created this earth, when He created the angels, that a third of them would rebel, and He knew that Lucifer, the devil, Satan, would lead the rebellion, and they would be cast out. And He knew before He made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden what they would do. And we have trouble with that. We say, how could you do that? If you knew it was going to happen, and then when we look and we read all these passages, God says, I'm the potter and you're the clay. Who's going to question me? And it's like, and then He says, our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. And who are we to question God? But I still want to question Him. I want to get upset with Him once in a while. I want to say, why don't you take some of these bad people out? And of course, He reminds me, well, there was a time in your life, if I'd have done that, you wouldn't be here. And it comes home to roost, doesn't it? It's like, and of course, I'm going to come back at Him and say, well, I'm not as bad as... And then God's response is always, you're not looking at it from my perspective. So you just can't outdo Him. And you come to the point to where, because He is everywhere all the time, you don't have to be praying for God to come down. He's already here. He's right here. He's in your heart. Your body is His temple. And God, hear me? God hears everything. Doesn't mean He'll answer right at the moment, but He hears it all. And can God work a miracle? Yes. Can God do anything He wants? Can God raise a dead person to life right this minute? Yes, He could. Yes, He can. And He does. He does all kinds of things we don't even know about. But does He do it because we snap our fingers and tell Him to do it? No. So what was the bottom line of this whole thing? And that's just a quick little review of last week, so nobody is feeling left out. You know, what was the bottom line? That we're not here to question Him. We're here to obey Him and yield to Him. We're here to be His servants, and as faithfully as we can, love Him and serve Him no matter what life dishes out. I had to go through this thing that I went through to have that hit home in a hard way. That we have to learn to deal with whatever is dealt with us, dealt to us. And we can't be upset and mad at God. Have I wrestled with God even since the message last week? Sure I have. And I get these little moments when, you know, when things are twinging and spasming and stuff's happening I'm not familiar with. And I'm thinking something's falling apart, you know, and I have my little panic attack. And I've learned what a panic attack is like. You know, it's like I've never panicked over much of anything, but when you think something's falling apart inside you, you'll panic. You know, and I live out there by myself. And so something happens, it's like, God, there's nobody here to help me. What am I going to do? And then it's like, oh, really? There's nobody here to help you? Are you sure about that? Yeah, I don't have any humans here for you because I want to be here for you. And you keep forgetting that. I'll take care of you. One way or another, I'll take care of you. So there it is. And then I was just reading in a little devotional, and it was just this last part of 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll go through that in a moment as much as we can. And it said, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I was just reading that and then got over here and started reading it and the whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And I thought, why is that appealing right now? Why? What are you saying through this? And then the Lord began to speak to my heart to show me, how many times, Tony, have you read this and you brought messages on it in the past, but you didn't get it, did you? How many of us, let me just read 1 Corinthians and then we'll talk. Well, let's talk about faith and hope and love, and then I'll read the rest of 1 Corinthians. But let's talk about what he talks about, that these three remain, faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. What about faith? You ever examined faith? Nobody really has a real, true, solid definition of faith. We look in the Bible and it says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you read that and say, what? What does that mean exactly? So let me go over this. When it says these remain out of, and everything else is gone, there's going to be three things remain, and the greatest to be love. So let's talk about faith. I titled this The Greatest Virtues. And then as we go through it, I'll share with you about these virtues. Because you're not going to get them unless you understand that God's all-powerful and everywhere all the time and all-knowing and all of that. You're not going to get them until you submit to that. Too many Christians have tried to practice the virtues taught in 1 Corinthians 13 and they make a miserable mess out of it. You can't love people until you're yielded to God's love. And you try to love them on any other basis, and you're going to be one of the grouchiest, most irritable, unlikable Christians around. You ever tried to love somebody when you didn't want to? You ever tried to like them or be around them when you wanted to be somewhere else completely? It's terrible. It'd be better just to say, look, I don't like you, I'm going away. Do everybody a favor and just come on. And so anyway, let's look at this faith thing. And let me just give you some things on faith that God has just opened up my heart to understand through all this. Thank you, Lord. Okay, everybody needs an affirmation from Him. There's the faith that leads to salvation, and that's where it all starts for all of us. There's a faith that leads to salvation, and this comes through the conviction and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You can't come to Jesus Christ. You can't accept Him except through what? Through faith in what He's done. Faith that He really died on that cross for you and me, and that He rose again, and that He's seated at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. Faith. So God has to give us faith to even be saved. That's a gift of God. We don't have that kind of faith. We don't even know about God until the Holy Spirit begins to knock on our heart. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever will listen to me and open that door and let me come in, and I'll sup with him. I'll be intimate with him. I'll live right there and clean up your whole house for you inside your heart. Isn't that neat? But how do we get there? God gives us a faith. We don't even think about it. It takes faith to ask Jesus in your heart. It takes faith to believe in something that happened you didn't see. But once you experience it, and once you ask Jesus in your heart, you see it. You see it through faith. Somebody can say to me, did you see Jesus on that cross? I see Him on that cross. I see Him there right now, and I see an empty tomb, and I see a Jesus that's interceding for me right now. I see it. I know it. How? Through faith in my heart. I visualize it. I know it's real. There's no question about it. People say, how do you know all this stuff's true? Oh, you ask Him in your heart, and you won't have to ask me that question. He'll reveal to you how true it is. So there's the faith that leads to salvation. And then there's the faith that we don't realize. What? There's a faith to cast out demons. There's a faith to rebuke the enemy, the devil. God gives you that faith. You can have that faith, the faith of spiritual warfare. That's important. You read over here and it talks about putting on the full armor of God and all this stuff in Ephesians. You know, put on the full armor of God and what? Do battle. Stand your ground. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you take the enemy on. And you can remove him, boy, cast him out. And you can speak in the faith in Jesus' name and cast his presence wherever he's at. You got that power. There's so many Christians just don't appropriate it. They don't use it. They don't take it in and say, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to fight this enemy. You have no power over me, devil. I belong to Jesus, and the blood of Jesus covers me. That's powerful stuff. There's so much more I'd like to say, but I don't want to keep you here all day. Sometimes I go too long, but there's just so much here. And then this faith, you say, how do I get this faith? It comes through the knowledge and application of the Word of God. Jesus said, in my name you can cast out demons. And you have to know the Word of God, and you have to believe it and see it just like you do. Jesus on the cross, Jesus resurrected, Jesus interceding for you in heaven right now. He's on our side, folks. It may not all work out like we want it to, but he's on our side. It's got to work out like he wants it to. And we have to keep that mindset, because I want things to work like I want them. I read things like I was sharing with you earlier, and you know, and I read that Epic News and all that stuff, and I just get so mad, and I think, can somebody fly me to Washington, and I want to strangle a few people. You know? It's like, put me up there, I'll clean this mess up. And you know, and then God sent it, really? You really want to do that? You want to go up there, and it's like, oh, that'd be a gnat. That's a jungle. That's a jungle, and there's minefields everywhere. You know, but still, I can pray and I can watch God do what God does. But he'll just do it in his time. Enough said there. So this faith to do this, cast out the enemy and involved in spiritual warfare. And you say, why is that up the top out there? From the day that you ask Jesus in your heart, you're involved in spiritual warfare. That enemy is going to try to harass you. He's going to try to bump you off the list. He can't take your soul. He can't take your salvation, but he can sure make your life miserable if you let him, and you need to rebuke him and stand against him and say, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to live in depression every day of my life. I'm not going to be beat up all the time. I'm going to win, and to do that in the authority of Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. Get out of my way. Jesus already defeated you, and I take that defeat, and that's also my victory. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Get out and stay out in the authority of Jesus' name. Take him on. Refuse to put up with it. Then there's miracle working faith. Sure like to see a bunch of that right now. There's the miracle working faith to lay hands on somebody that's sick and watch them recover. He says you can do that. Mark 16 talks about that. And then I read these theologians that say, well, Mark 16 is not really valid today. Oh, so we can pick and choose what works and doesn't work. Once you start that, you're on the path to perdition. You're going to fall into false doctrine right off the bat. If it's in the Bible, it's real. Tolerance to it. Go for it. And get over your old denominational and church training, you know, depending on what church or denomination you've kind of grown up in, and they've told you all this stuff. It's time for us to quit believing what man told us and start looking at the Bible and practicing what God says. That's it, period. You're going to be so happy and so well off and so powerful in this life. When you submit to God and begin to experience his word, and you see his word, and I mean see his word working itself out. See the Holy Spirit using you every day of your life. Well, there's this miracle working faith, and you can lay hands on people and watch them recover. Also with this faith, you know, with this miracle working faith, that's the faith that says you can say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the roots, say to this mountain. My goodness, folks, he didn't tell us to go. I've had people say, I went out and it said in Jesus' name for that mountain to move and it didn't move, and it's like, dummy. You don't go testing the Lord. And he was saying this sycamore tree, but what was he trying in this mountain out here? What was he really trying to tell them? They were bringing demon-possessed people to him, and a boy that was, the demon was throwing him in the water and all this stuff. And Jesus said, these are mountains in people's lives. These are things that they can be uprooted, and you can be my instrument. of miracle working faith and power to cast these things out and set people free from the stuff that's held them captive. Friends, that's what the church is about. It's setting people free. We're here to bring the power of God into the lives of people who are suffering and give them hope. And that's one of these, we're getting that next. This kind of faith, though, comes through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge, and get this now, it comes through the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge and application of God's Word, and most important, it comes through the intimacy of walking with and knowing God. That's what flips back to last week. You've got to learn to trust God no matter the circumstances, no matter what you're going through. You trust Him. He knows best. He doesn't let you go through things unless there's a real goal to it in His for Him. It's to His glory. Is everybody with me? Once in a while, like yesterday, having a really bad day, I was saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I preach on this. It's hard for me to yield to this right now. I don't feel well, you know, and all that stuff. And it's like, what? I just don't understand. Can I just be healed? And it's like, you are being healed. This is part of the process. And I've allowed you to go through this for reasons that I'm not going to tell you about now. You've been preaching this for what, nearly 40 years? Are you going to really believe me now? Is it about time you started trusting me? You tell everybody else to, why don't you do it? And that's pretty tough conviction, folks. It's like, you know, you get up there Sunday after Sunday. Now you really take this to heart and just let go and let God. Just let me do my thing in your life. And let everybody see me doing my thing in your life. Can you do that? Can you just yield to Him that way? And say, my body's your temple. Whatever you want to achieve through it, do it. Bring glory to your name, Lord. That's what it's all about. And to be intimate with God and not fussing with you. If you're fussing with your partner, you can't be intimate. You know? You just can't be intimate with someone when you're having an argument. And we do that with God all the time. It's a marriage relationship. Just like being married to a human being, except you're married to God. We're married to God through Christ. So why be fussing with Him? Submit to Him. Well, enough on that. That's the faith. Just the forms of faith He wants us to have. And you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I've had people say, well, I went over there and laid hands on someone, or I did this or that, and nothing happened. Did you listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Did the Holy Spirit tell you this was the time to do that? See, a lot of times we blow it because we don't listen to God's Holy Spirit and His timing. There's a time to go to someone and be reconciled, and there's a time to wait till they're ready. Have you ever gone to someone and you said, I know the Bible just says we got to make this right and all that, and they're saying, and they send you, why? God, their heart wasn't prepared yet. So trust the timing of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to belabor all this. We got to move on. And then he says, faith, hope. And what is hope? Hope's what keeps us going. Listen to me. Hope is what keeps us going when God's answer is delayed. I'm still believing. I'm hoping. And I know it's going to happen, even when He's delayed in doing it. He's not behind, but I am, and I want it now. I'm kind of like that commercial you see on TV all the time. It's my money, and I want it now. We're that way about everything in life, aren't we? I want it now. And He's saying, you want it now? I'm the potter, you're what? The clay. And I'll give it to you as I see fit. Is everybody with me on this? Y'all are looking at me like, really? Yeah, really. I mean, this is really it. And so hope is what keeps us going. It motivates us. And when our faith response is delayed, hope is the inward soul conviction that faith will be rewarded. And I hope for it. I hope for Jesus coming. I believe He's coming, but I have a hope because He hasn't come yet. I wouldn't mind if He comes. Would you? I really wouldn't mind. Just zap me up. You know, then I get a whole new body. No more twinges. no more, you know, nothing. And that, I'm looking forward to that now. I'm looking forward to that more than I ever have before. But hope is the inward soul conviction that faith is rewarded. And it's based on what God says in His Word. And I cling to it. I make it my life. Faith and hope. And now we get to the big one. He says the greatest of all these virtues is love. I talk about love, and most guys, you know, when you say love, a lot of guys just kind of, they want to crawl in their little snail shell, you know, and say, oh, he's talking about that warm, fuzzy stuff. There's nothing warm, fuzzy here. This is the heart of God. Love is the greatest virtue over faith, over hope. Love transcends and stands over faith and hope. Let me share a few things with you. Love is of God. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God. Everybody needs to hear that. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Period. Anyone in this room, if you can't love, you're not being condemned. You're being examined. You're being convicted. If you have a love issue towards people, towards a people, then God wants to confront you, and He is. And He's saying, I'm a God of love. And I love people who are absolutely not loving. But I love them anyway. My son Jesus died on that cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And they're casting insults at Him. They're making fun of Him. They're putting Him down. They're sitting there laughing at His misery and His suffering. And He's saying, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And He wants us to have that same attitude. And you can do it. It's a matter of intimacy with God. You have to yield. You have to be willing to yield and obey. Instead, we want to cling to our troubles. We want to hang on to who hurt us, who offended us, who walked out on us in a relationship, who did, you know, messed us around in business. And God is saying, they've been messing me around in business and in relationship since the beginning, since the time I created people. But God says my love transcends their actions. And how many times have all of us hurt God and disappointed Him, and yet He's right there loving us, caring for us, and never quits. And He's calling us to be in that same place. Because if you do that, you're free. You're not held in anger. You're not holding on to something that somebody back there said or did to you. To be free from other people and their problems and their issues. And to just say, I love you, and you're not going to make me do anything but love you. No matter how rude and mean and ugly you are. And this is tough stuff, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard. But it's God. And if God can do it, He lives in me. My body's His temple. Temple of the living God. Temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have the power. I just got to let it go. And let Him reach out through me. So love is the greatest virtue. Listen, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. And it comes to submission. And as I submit to God, I can't make myself love. I've tried it. I experience it through experiencing God, who is love. And the more intimate and the more open and the more yielded I am to God the Father, the more love begins to flow as a river of living water. And it's there for all of us. And you can't defeat someone who has a heart of love. Now, I want to read this to you, and I'll read it as fast as I can so I don't keep you here all day. But he said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, there's those mountains moving again, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Do you realize what he's saying here? So many religions, they call themselves Christianity, but so many religions are based on you doing things to yourself and you paying some price. Are you walking on your knees and tearing your knees all to pieces? What for? He said, if you don't have love, that's nothing. You're not impressing God, you're just impressing people. He said, you can give your body to be burned up for, and if you don't have love in your heart, it's all a loss. And then he goes in there to say, love is patient. Did anybody already lost it on the first one? The love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. Anybody mess up on that one lately? It's not self-seeking and it's not easily angered. Uh-oh, that nailed about a... How many people does that nail? Love is not easily angered. I don't see anybody in here that'd be easily angered, do y'all? No. Okay, I'm sorry. That was stretching it, Lord. But anyway, look at this. And it keeps no record of wrongs. How many of you have a little heart diary? And in your little heart diary, your little memory system, you jot down everybody that's ever said or done something to you didn't like. It says it keeps no record of wrongs and it does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects and always trusts and always hopes and always perseveres and love never fails. It says where there's prophecies, they'll cease. It says where there's tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Sounds complicated. He's just saying all these other things to show and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, that God has come and the Holy Spirit's here. He said, one day they're going to go away. I'm not telling you when. I'm not going to tell you they're already gone or they're still here. I'm just saying, he's saying that those things will all go away because they were here as proof that the Holy Spirit was real and so forth, so forth. But the whole point is this stuff's going to pass. And he said, you know, and when the perfect comes, then we stopped acting. And I'll paraphrase here. When perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child and I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And he said, now we see in a mirror. Now we see but a poor reflection is in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. And he said, now I know in part, then I shall know fully as I'm fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. Now let me hit you. I made a list of these virtues and that's what we're going to close on because this is what's important. Now I want you to hear this. So you try to read all this and it kind of jumbles together. Let's talk about love and what he's saying. I just listed them out. Love is patient. And love is kind. And love does not envy. And love does not boast and it's not proud. And all of a sudden, as you're reading this, do you see it? Do you see it? Take love and insert God. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. That's the God we serve. These virtues come from the heart of God. And he says love is, but what is love? God is love. He's describing the character and the heart of the living God. And that's what he wants in every one of us. God does not boast. And God's not proud. And God's not rude. He's never been rude to me one day ever in my entire life. Has he you? No matter what I said, no matter what I've done, God's never rude. God is not self-seeking. God has his will and he wants me to tap into his will because he wants what's best for me and he wants to be honored and glorified through all that. But I'm so often wanting what I want and I think that's best, and God says no, you're going to suffer. And even when I disobey and seek my own will, and that's do you ever wonder why did he give us our own will? Why couldn't you just taken that out, I'd rather be a little spiritual robot and get it right. And he said, no, it doesn't work that way. You got to choose me and you got to choose my heart. And this is God's heart. And he's, look at this, but I'm so glad. Look at this. Love is not easily angered. God is not easily angered. If he was, how many of us would be here? God does not keep a record of wrongs. He said, what? He's cast our sins into the depths of the sea and he's removed them as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't have a diary of our wrongs. When you ask Jesus in your heart, he cast those sins into the sea. I repent of them. He removes them and he's not looking back. Saying, you little dog, you said that 3 months ago. Now you're doing it again. He doesn't do that. People do that. God keeps no record of wrongs and he does not delight in evil. God rejoices with the truth and God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Do you see? This is beautiful. This, you get a look at the heart of God in 1 Corinthians 13, and you also get a look at the heart that he wants each and every one of us to have. Sure, he wants you to exercise faith, and he wants you to have hope in that faith that everything God says is, will be fulfilled. It will, friends, it will. It doesn't have to be on our timetable, it's on his. But friends, we're sitting here this morning. And if we'll yield to God, and if we'll quit complaining and quit trying to tell God, I want this evil removed. I want politics changed. And you pray for that, but don't get mad. Be glad. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a purpose. Listen to me. Nobody is fooling God. Nobody is going to get away with anything. It just seems that way. Justice will be done. And the Lord said, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay. Hallelujah. You keep that in mind. We might get hit. We might get slapped around. There may be a few things that gets, and we just, boy. But God is saying, I see that. Don't you do that to my people. I've given you plenty of time to repent. You're not willing to do that. And justice is coming. Judgment day will come. And in the meantime, let us have the heart of God and let him fill us with his patience and his kindness. Where we don't envy, we don't boast. We're not proud. We're not rude. We're not self-seeking. We're just out here giving, opening in our hearts. And listen, you do this, I'll tell you one thing. Not only will your relationship with God be 100% better, but your relationship with your partner and your friends will be 100% better. Because you won't be upset all the time. You won't be so easily angered because the love of God in Christ Jesus has come and has filled your heart overflowing and has changed you. And that's what we need, is a radical change that comes from an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God that we surrender to. And we'll have our moments when we say, I don't get it. I don't understand. I hurt. I'm in pain. He gets it. Tell him. And remember, if it matters to me, it matters to God. It does. If it's hurting me, it's hurting him. He knows, and keep it in mind. Or God, I'm angry. Did you hear what they said? He said, I knew they were going to say it before they said it. Yeah, I heard it. Now let me reach in there and make something out of it for you. Let me transform you. Let me take you above it and put you on top. Don't you come down to that level. You stay at my level. You stay filled with me, submitting to me, and trust me, and I'll take care of it all for you. And you're going to come through this whole thing more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Amen? Amen. Amen. You are.